this morning. And first of all, I want to thank you for your burden for missions and for your sacrifice for us and for our ministry in Mexico. Let me take just a few minutes and give you an update so that you'll know where what your money is doing in your prayers. And we're so grateful to you. But we're down on the southern end of Sonora, Mexico, for those of you that don't know us. And my wife right now is in New York City with my mother. So I think last time I promised that she would be with me next time. And I don't know, next time she'll be with me, okay? And we're on the southern end, the south end of Sonora, Mexico, about, 450 miles south of here. And we're in the Mayo River Valley. And we have a church planting ministry. God has been so good, and I want to give you so many details, but I'm going to be brief because I know that you're going to want to go to lunch pretty soon. But we have an orphanage, and we have a boarding school. In our orphanage and our boarding school, I think we have about 35 children. We have a Bible Institute. It's a Bible college, actually, full-time Bible college. And we have about 35 students in our Bible college. 23 of those, we just finished our school year, but 23 of those were full-time. And then the rest are part-time. We just had our graduation with 9 graduates. Mike told me that we've already replaced those graduates with new kids planning to come in next semester. And God has been so good, and we're so grateful to the Lord. My son Mike is now the leader of the ministry. I used to say that Mike and his family worked with us. Now I say that Kathy and I work with Mike. But one thing that we're very excited about is are those pastors that the churches that we've been able to start. You can divide our ministry into two parts. In the earlier part, we would start churches, and then we would turn it over. We'd try to train a pastor and turn it over to that pastor. But that transition was so hard, and it was so hard for the new pastor coming in to go from the missionary to the pastor. And but those early works, we started 3 churches. And then those churches started 3 churches. Those early works went through some trying time, but now they're just doing wonderful. The pastors are doing great. They're doing better than we've ever seen them do in the past. And then Mike started a church up in Alamos, and Brother Jesus is doing great up there. But now our philosophy now, our goal now is for us not to start the churches, but to train leaders and then let those young men, those young couples, start the churches, and then to work side by side with them and to enable them to start the church and let it be their baby from the very beginning. And God is just blessing. We have 5 young men that are starting churches, they're starting works, I should say. They're in various stages. And just doing well. A lot of my work right now is striving to raise funds so that we can buy land. And we'll start out with just a pavilion down where we are. It's like here. It's so warm. It's almost better not to have walls and let the breeze go through. But if we can get them a piece of land and a pavilion to start with. And you folks had sent a generous offering down to help Pastor Bernardino. And now he has his walls up. He has a roof and walls and a nice piece of land. Brother Reuben just had his first service on his land. And he had too many people to meet under the pavilion. He had been meeting out in the baseball diamond in a little village, but now he's on his land, and that just opens it up. People would rather be in a place that the whole village isn't watching them, and he had a lot of visitors and some folks saved last week. And Iban has a piece of land and has a pavilion. We just last week put a down payment. This is by faith. Brother Norberto is buying a piece of land in Villa Juarez, and so pray for us that we have to make a payment. We just made a payment in May. We have to make a payment in June and then another payment to pay it off in July. So pray that God will supply that money. And but God has been so good. Keep us in your prayers, and we're so grateful to you. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like to invite you to turn to the second epistle of John. The second epistle of John. There's only one chapter in this epistle. We'll read verses 1 through 4 in just a moment. Pastor, is your custom to stand or to sit? What do you usually do? Okay. 2 John chapter 1, and we'll read verses 1 through 4. 2 and 3 John are the shortest books in the Bible. 2 John is the shortest book by verses, and 3 John is the shortest book by word. And so let's all stand, and we'll read 2 John verses 1 through 4. The theme of these two books, 2 and 3 John, is truth. In 2 John, the word truth appears 5 times, and then in 3 John, the word truth appears 6 times. And John is writing this to the elect lady, and he says in verse 1, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. And not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father." Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for Pastor Schaefer and for Vision Baptist Church, for their faithfulness, dear God, and burden for souls. And God, I pray in this upcoming Vacation Bible School, God, that you would reach children with the truth. And God, I pray that you'd bless this church. And thank you for them. Help me this morning, dear God, to be an encouragement to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Please be seated. This is amazing to me, but Pilate said to Jesus Christ, "What is truth?" And Pilate is an illustration of this world. What is truth? It's subjective. And this world is straying farther and farther from the truth. They're inventing a new truth, which is not truth at all. And the Bible is very clear to us what the truth is. And it's absolute. So John, the beloved, the apostle, is writing to the elect lady. Now, many feel that the elect lady is referring to a church and that her children are referring to the members of that church. But it does not change the message and it does not change the application. And so we're just going to look at this, this elect lady, a mother, and learn from her and receive some encouragement from her, some insight from her as John writes to her. And so first of all, I want you to see that this lady knew the truth. She knew the truth. In verse 1, John says, the elder unto the elect lady and her children whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they, look what it says, that have known the truth. I love her and her children, and not just me, but all they that know the truth love her and her children because they know the truth. And so she knew the truth. Well, what is truth? Well, the Bible is very clear. John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus said, "I'm the truth." Jesus is the truth. In 3 John, the theme is truth. Did you know that 3 John is the only book in the New Testament that doesn't mention the words Jesus and Christ? But it says truth. It mentions the word truth six times. Well, Jesus Christ is the truth. It's still talking about Jesus Christ. And this lady knew the truth. Now listen, she didn't just know about the truth. She didn't know of the truth, but she personally knew the truth. Do you remember the day that you came to know Jesus Christ in a personal way? I can remember that day. I was 12 years old, and I'd heard the gospel all my life. I'd been in my dad, every service, he was very evangelistic, every service gave the gospel. And then, I remember that Sunday night after church, I was sitting out in the driveway with my dad in our old station wagon, and I had some questions. And it dawned on me for the first time, my sinfulness and Jesus' love for me, his mercy towards me. Now, we see another word that appears, and it's the word love. The word love appears four times. Love is the result of truth.
Right.
Love follows truth. We come to know Jesus Christ, and we come to know the love of Jesus Christ. I remember that night. Why did I start crying? Because for the first time I understood, I had a glimpse of Christ's great love for me. And so this elect lady knew the truth in a personal way. And her children knew the truth, knew Jesus Christ in a personal way. But then truth produces love, but we understand the love of Jesus Christ. But then we also understand the love of God's family. When we first moved into Sonora, let's see, that was about 1,000 years ago, I think. And we had two little girls, and we moved down there and didn't know anybody. My wife was expecting. My dad was encouraging me. My dad was a pastor, and he was encouraging me to wait till after the baby was born. And but God led us down there, and it's an amazing thing that in just a short while, within a week, God allowed us to lead some folks to the Lord, and then allowed us to come across a little village where there were some elderly ladies that were God's children, and we just fell in love with them, and they fell in love with us. And there's a special love amongst God's family. And now, just like a family, sometimes there's a little bit of conflict. I remember not long after we'd been down there, I got sick, very sick. I got hepatitis. Man, I was laid out. I did not want to go to the doctor to find out what it was. But those ladies got to worrying about me. And they said, you know what Brother Nelson needs is chicken soup. That would make him want to eat. And so they caught the bus in their little village, and they came into our town, Huatabampo. Got off the bus. They had to walk quite a ways. One of the lady had a bad leg. They walked to our house. I was on the couch. Kathy answered the door, and they said, Brother Nelson needs some chicken soup. If he had chicken soup, he would want to eat, and he'd gain strength. And they gave my wife a live chicken. The last thing we wanted to do was kill and gut and pluck a chicken to make chicken soup. But it just touched our hearts. We've got a guy in our church, and he's ex-cartel. And he's bipolar, big time. He either wants to hug you or kill you. There's no middle ground. But he says, Pastor, I'm not bipolar. I'm multipolar, and full of problems. But he loves us, and we love him.
Amen.
He loves God. And She knew the truth. She knew Jesus Christ. And because of that, John loved her. And God's family loved her and her children. John 17:17 says, Jesus said, thy word is truth. And so we see that Jesus is truth and his word is the truth. Over in verse 9, we see it talks about the doctrine of Christ. The teachings of Christ, the way of Christ. And she was obedient. She knew Christ in a personal way. And she knew his instructions. So we see that she knew the truth. But then I want you to see that she continued on in the truth. It's one thing to start. It's another thing to continue on and to finish well. She knew the truth. But then she continued on in the truth. We have folks that come to know the Lord as their Savior in our orphanage. These kids come and they're just messed up. Old Satan has just done everything he can to hurt them. And in themselves, they have no hope. But then they come to know the truth. And Jesus changes their life. And around the world, where's the greatest need? Where's the greatest mission field? Anywhere you want to look. Amen. Satan is active everywhere. He just works in different ways. And he's destroying lives. And they come to know the truth and they're so excited. But then they need to continue on in the truth. And that's not always easy. It says in verse 2, for the truth's sake, look what it says, which dwelleth in us. Talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ lives in our heart in the form of the Holy Spirit. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Jesus is faithful and he abides with us. Now, it's our decision to continue on with him, to abide in him. John told this servant of God, this godly mother, this godly lady, the elect lady, in verse 3, grace be with you. Why did he say grace be with you? What is grace? God's grace is simply God's help. And he says, listen, you need God's help. Grace be with you and mercy. Oh, every day I need God's mercy and I need God's help. Listen, I cannot continue on. God is faithful to me, but I cannot be faithful to God without his help. In my own strength, I cannot continue on with the Lord. In verse 9, it says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, or in the way of Christ, in the instructions of Christ, following Christ, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. And so what it's saying is, following on, being faithful, not perfect, nobody's perfect, but striving to be faithful to the Lord is the evidence that we are Christians. It talks about abiding with Christ. To abide is to persevere. I read the story not too long ago about the explorer Richard Burt. And he went to the North Pole, a number of explorations. In 1934, he decided to go to Antarctic alone in the winter. And they had to take him before the winter set in, and they couldn't pick him up until the end of the winter. In the Antarctic, it's dark during the winter time. There are weeks that it never gets light. And he was so excited because his life had been so hectic and so busy to be alone and just to be able to contemplate and think and create his own schedule. But it was a terrible winter. Physically, he got very sick. Emotionally, he pretty much had an emotional breakdown. But he had a little house that he would stay in. And every day he would try to walk. And it was dark. And he would take a flashlight with him. And he would take a bundle of bamboo sticks. And because it was dark and everything is flat, he would just go not too far. And he couldn't see his house anymore. His little dwelling. And so what he would do is every 30 paces, every 30 steps, he would put a bamboo stick in the snow. And then he'd take another 30 steps and he'd put another bamboo stick in the snow. And then when he decided to turn around, he could see that first or the last bamboo stick, the first bamboo stick heading back. And he just had to make it to that stick, and then he could see the next stick. And he could make his way back. And one day he set out and putting the sticks in the snow. And he didn't realize how windy it had gotten. And when he turned around to come back, the wind had covered up the last stick. He couldn't see it. And so he searched for it with his flashlight. And, of course, stress set in. You guys never have stress, do you? And confusion, what do I do? And he decided just to walk as best he could the right direction. And he counted off 30 steps, no stick. And he counted off another 30 steps. And I don't know how long he went, but he went far enough that his flashlight batteries died. And he thought, I'm lost. I'm dead. And but he thought, I'm just going to continue on. I'm going to press on. And he counted out 29 steps, and he found a stick. And then he was able to find the rest of the sticks, and he made it home. And that terrible winter finally ended, and he came back to the United States. Listen, God has given to us some sticks. God has given to us some gifts to help us, to guide us on our way. Now, sometimes it's cold and dark and we're confused and we feel like we've lost our way. But God will use these sticks to help us, these gifts that He's given us. He's given us His Word. What a gift. What an incredible gift to help guide us in the truth, in the way of Christ. He's given us the Holy Spirit. That's a gift from God that dwells in our hearts. Wow. Now listen to me. Another gift that He has given to us, and it's the plan for the world, is the local church. And we cannot continue on in the truth without the local church. We moved down to Mexico, and we thought, man, we're leaving our friends and our family. We're leaving our church. We're going to be all alone. And what did God do? Gave us a local church down there. We started one. And through prayer, we access these gifts that God has given to us. She continued on in the truth. Listen, people say, I don't want to go to church. It's full of problems. And it is. And you're one of them. Forgive me. That's probably going to hurt my offering. What an amazing thing that God, the church is made up of people, and people are full of problems. But God uses us in this world. He uses the church to help us, and He uses us to reach this world. This is the place that we can serve. She knew the truth, and she continued on in the truth. And because of that, she greatly rejoiced in the truth. Now listen, there are days where we have to persevere, abide in the truth. And sometimes it is not easy. And listen, this elect lady, just like all of us, there were times that she did not want to continue on. And she was not planning to become a drug addict and a bank robber. But sometimes we don't continue on the way we ought to because we're just cold in our heart. And and we're not walking in the truth. We're not walking with the Lord and serving the Lord the way we ought to. But she continued on in the truth. She persevered. She pressed forward. It says in verse 4, John says, I rejoiced greatly. John must have had a part in her Christian life and in her children's Christian life. And he's rejoicing greatly. He says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. I was just rejoicing greatly because your children are continuing on. Why were her children continuing on? Because she was continuing on. Now listen, if John was rejoicing in a great way because her children were continuing on, I guarantee you that she was rejoicing. The Bible says, they that sow in tears shall reap, not might reap, but shall reap with joy. God promises us fruit. Now, this is what I think. I think that Mary, that terrible day when Jesus was crucified, stood at the foot of the cross and felt like a failure. She had four other sons, and her four other sons were not walking in the truth, did not know the truth. They rejected Jesus Christ as the Savior. They were not there that day. Listen, I don't think that you would be able to find a more godly couple than Joseph and Mary. I think that's why God chose them. A more faithful couple than Joseph and Mary. But that one day she's standing at the foot of the cross and she's thinking, this is the end of my world. My husband's gone. My other sons, her other sons and her daughters were not there. They're not walking in the truth. They were rebellious. They did not follow her teaching. And her only faithful son was dying a criminal's death on the cross. And Jesus Christ had to put John in charge of his mother. Where were the brothers? Where were her other sons? And I believe that she was tempted. I can't do this anymore. There's no reason to do this anymore. And she was tempted to grow cold and not to press on, not to continue on. But praise God, she did. Amen. And because she pressed on, one of her sons became the pastor of the church that Jesus started and wrote a book of the Bible. Another one of her sons wrote a book in the Bible, a faithful servant of God. And I personally believe that her other sons and daughters came to know Jesus Christ, came to know the truth and walk in the truth. This lady's, this mother's sons here in 2 John were walking in the truth because the mother continued on. She knew the truth and she continued on. And listen, God will give us fruit. We may go through some dark, cold days that we're confused and we feel like we're lost. But if we'll press on, God will bless. My message to you this morning is press on, continue on. David said, lead me in thy truth. On thee do I wait all the day. Thank you so much. Thank you for your help. You guys are a blessing to us. Pastor.
So I'll stand and pray for you, please.